And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. We shall read one more portion, and that is from the book of Jude and verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. 15th pad. To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are the three portions concerning this great man called Enoch. About him in the book of Hebrews we read, the portion that we just read, it says, By faith, and notice the word before his translation, he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him, and before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. He was a great man, Enoch, probably the earliest recorded prophecy concerning the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ was given to this man, Enoch. We don't read that in Genesis, but we read that in Jude. Jude makes mention of it. He says, Enoch prophesied he saw the Son of God coming with 10,000 of his saints. This morning, if God willing, in the next few minutes, we desire to look into the life of Enoch and the way he pleased God. Before his translation, before God took him, we see he pleased God. The word here is the word called pleased God. But when we come to the Old Testament and we read in Genesis chapter 5, the word there, the comparable word there, he walked with God. Twice over in the portion that we just read, we read, he walked with God. Words 22, it reads, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And once again in verse 24, we read, Enoch walked with God. He walked with God two times, we read that here. Another man, his great-great-grandson, about Noah too, we read that he walked with God. These two men, it's almost in the family, they walked with God. It's almost as if Enoch would impart some learning to his son Methuselah, and then these learnings would go down the family line to Noah as well. Even before God spoke to Noah, we see Noah walked with God. We read there in Genesis chapter 6, we read about Noah, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, there are things that the Bible speaks very few things about this man called Enoch. Concerning him, the thoughts are very compressed into very few verses. A few verses in Genesis speak about the portion that we just read about him. The book of Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews speaks about Enoch, and he says he pleased God. And then Jude speaks about Enoch. So the thoughts concerning Enoch are fairly compressed into few verses. But even in these few verses, we shall learn that they hold words of great profit, and there are lessons to be learned from the life of Enoch. Things that we know about Enoch in these verses in Genesis chapter 5, that he lived 365 years. He was the father of a man called Methuselah, and Methuselah, about him we read, he lived the longest. He lived 969 years. To understand, you know, the meaning of the word Methuselah, I was trying to search and I couldn't find in the general commentary, but one of the dictionaries made mention of it, and it said, when he dies, it shall be sent. That is the word, that is the meaning of the word Methuselah. When he dies, it will be sent. But it's interesting to note that about Enoch, we read in this entire chapter, Genesis chapter 5, here, Genesis chapter 5, that he did not see death. He was taken up. God took him. Now, verse 24, I think it is written here, for God took him. But if you keep on reading from verse 1, the genealogy, and this is the line of Seth. Adam begat Seth, and that is the line that we're talking about. You will see that at the interval of three verses, starting verse 5, we see he died. You see, verse 5, it says Adam died. When we come to verse 8, we see Seth died. Verse 11, we see Enos died. And after that, in verse 14, we see Cainan died. Verse 17, we read Mahalalel died. And in verse 20, we read Jared died. When we come to Enoch, in verse 20, 24, it says, what God took him. Six men before him, they died. But when we come to the seventh, and Jude makes mention of this, if you read Jude chapter 40, verse 14, it says, Jude gives the title to Enoch, and Jude says he's the seventh from Adam. That is very interesting to note. Why would Jude make mention of Enoch as the seventh from Adam? The Bible doesn't go about saying that, you know, David is the 57th, and so is this number, this number, this number. But when we come to Enoch, we read he's the seventh from Adam. That is how Jude makes mention of it in Jude verse 14. That is a verse that we just read. Six men before him, they died. But when we come to Enoch, we see God took him. That is the word that we read about him. Enoch is one among the two Old Testament saints who did not see death, who were taken up by God, who were translated. In that, Enoch is also a type of saints who would be raptured. Saints who would be raptured, and immediately after that, we will see tribulation coming. You see, Enoch was taken up by God, and soon after his son died, we see a great judgment was coming upon this earth. One of the symbols, one of the earliest types of rapture do we see here in Genesis chapter 5. When we come, one of the earliest mentions of rapture is in the first book of this Bible, one of the last mentions of rapture, or rather a type of rapture, would be in the last book of this Bible, that's in Revelation chapter 4 about John. He was lifted up into heaven, and the angel would say, come hither and see, and the doors were open there. Right soon after that, we see the tribulation being poured and the judgment being poured upon this earth. In that, we see Enoch is a type of rapture, or rather signifying rapture in the way he was translated, and after that judgment was poured upon this earth. When we look at the life of Enoch in verse 24, it says, verse 22, we know he walked with God, but it is interesting to note, when did he begin walking with God? Verse 22, it says, in verse 21 it says, he's 65 years old, he begat Methuselah. Verse 22, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. For the first 65 years of his life, he was not walking with God. Something happened at the age of 65. He got a son, his name was Methuselah, and he started walking with God. It's very clear, after he begat Methuselah. It is almost as if Enoch was given a message at the age of 65. It is almost as if God called Enoch and gave him a message. We know God spoke to Enoch because Jude makes mention of that. And we understand that was one of the message that was given to Enoch. After your son dies, there will be judgment on this earth. That is why he named his son Methuselah. Though after he dies, judgment will be sent. That is the meaning of the word Methuselah. Almost at the age of 65, he is being called by God and he's being given this message, the message that after your son dies, judgment will fall. He was also given a second message. And this message we read in Jude chapter 14, verse 14, it speaks about the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ, which is the judgment that is to follow now. Message one was a judgment of flood. Message two is the tribulation that will be following in the days ahead. And he sees the Son of God coming with ten thousands of his saints. I wonder what Enoch was looking at. When he was looking at, he sees these saints coming along with Lord Jesus Christ. One of the earliest prophecies, right from that over 3,500 years from today, we see God had planned out this great event that is the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, saw that great vision. Two messages that were given to Enoch. One was a message of flood, which we read here, after your son dies, judgment will follow. Message two, it is the judgment, the tribulation, the Son of God coming in the clouds with 10,000 of his souls. First message has been fulfilled. As surely as the Lord lives, as surely as his word lives, the second message will also be fulfilled to its perfection. In fact, when Enoch was being given this message, the first message, which is the message of the judgment of the flood, his life completely changed after that. We read at the age of 65, we see after he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah, he started walking with. His life had completely changed. I wonder what God spoke to him. God would have spoken to him, set your house in order, set your family in order, speak to the people around, because judgment is going to come into your, coming into the world. You must tell the people of this world, you must minister to them that judgment is coming. Turn from ungodliness towards godliness. That was probably the message that was given to Enoch. And immediately Enoch named his son Methuselah. Every day when he woke up, he would look at the face of Methuselah and he would remember this great message that was given to him, that when he dies, judgment will follow. Every day that urgency would be there in his life, that he must set his house in order, that he must walk with God. This term called walking with God, I wonder what it means. Generally, the word walking, it means it's an activity and exudes a certain sense of urgency. When you walk, you go towards a certain place. The term walking with God, the word walking itself was being first used by God when he came down to the Garden of Eden, and there he was walking with Adam. There he was walking in the garden. The term walking itself exudes urgency. It means there was a certain continuous activity that was going on. Enoch, when he was walking with God, it means he was active in the ministry of God. Other supplemental historical records suggest that Enoch was a great preacher. He was a man who was very busy outside his house. Sometimes he's normally traveling. The term walking gives that feeling that he was active. And many historical records suggest this, that he was traveling a lot and he was speaking to the people of the coming judgment. People did not believe him. It was too early for them. People did not believe that judgment was coming. They continued in their evil. He was living in a time when God said in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, in Genesis chapter 6, in one of the verses, verse 5 and 6, it says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 6, it repented the Lord that he had made man at the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The very glory of his creation, when God looked at man, every imagination of his heart was evil, and God repented he had created man. This was the era in which Enoch was living. And many historical records suggest this. This man was busy in the ministry of the Lord all the time. Walking with the Lord means you are active in the ministry of the Lord. In some way or the other, you are not sitting at home doing nothing for the Lord, not remembering the Lord. Walking with the Lord means being active in the ministry of the Lord in one way or the other. It might be in the front end ministry, it might be in the support ministry, it might be there in the prayer ministry. The life of Enoch, walking with God after he received this great message at the age of 65. The other meaning of the word walking with God means lingering. It means you are always around the presence of God. Walking, Enoch was a man at the age of 65. Once he got this message, he lingered in the presence of God. He was all the time consumed and thinking about God. Every morning he would wake up and he would look at Methuselah and he would remember this great message that was given to him. He would remember the days are numbered, the judgment of the Lord is coming now. He was lingering in the presence of God. The New Testament parallel to this would be John, the beloved disciple. In the upper room, we see him laying his head on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. How close was he supposed to be to the Lord to have laid his head on the bosom of Lord Jesus Christ? In the garden, we see he's outside the garden. On the cross of Calvary, we see when many of the disciples are gone away, John is standing next to the cross, lingering around the presence of Lord Jesus Christ. Enoch was one such man. He lingered in the presence of God. No matter what the circumstances were, no matter of the coming judgment on the earth, Enoch was one who was around the Lord, thinking about the Lord, consumed with the affairs of the Lord. Enoch walked with God. You know, when you look at the life of Enoch, I believe one person said like this, that day Enoch set his house in order. His business was settled, his liabilities were settled, he owed nothing to anyone. At the age of 65, all those things were now off. He settled his house, he settled his life. Now he was walking with God, because the judgment of the Lord was very near. Brethren, the message to each one of us is also similar. The judgment of the Lord is coming very near. We must set our house in order. We must not make sure that our bills are settled, Our liabilities are settled. We owe nothing to anyone. Because now be ready to see the face of Lord Jesus Christ. Enoch was every single day from that day, from the age of 65 for the next 300 years. He settled this matter. He was waiting to see Lord Jesus. He was waiting to see God. That's why it says before his translation, God was pleased with the life of Enoch. You know, Enoch was so affected by this message that was given to him at the age of 65. Not only did he speak about this message to people outside, he also spoke about it in the house or the family members. Methuselah learned about God from Enoch. Now, we don't read much about Methuselah. We'll have to rely a little bit on historical records here. Methuselah took over the mantle of preaching to the world around from his father Enoch. Enoch lived 365. Methuselah lived much longer. And Methuselah took on that mantle about speaking about the coming judgment to the people. Not only that, his great-great-grandson Noah learned about this coming judgment of the judgment of flood, the coming judgment from Methuselah. In other words, the entire family line in some way were affected because Enoch walked with God. Enoch made sure that not only the people outside, but his own family members knew about the coming judgment. Now, obviously, the question remains, did Methuselah get into the ark? But Methuselah died before the ark, before the flood happened. Historical records suggest 7 days after he died, the floods arrived. That was the promise given, that was a message given to Enoch. When your son dies, judgment will come. You know, many times when we look at the life of Enoch, many people might wonder that, no, Enoch did not have the temptations that we have today. We have the internet, we have the television, we have our friends, we have so many things that are distracting us. But Enoch did not have to have these things. He was the seventh from Adam. The earth was fairly new at that point of time. Evil was not perpetrating at the rate at which it is doing today. But here, hold your breath there. And when we come to Jude, and that is where that expression seventh from Adam comes into play. Jude says he's a seventh from Adam. Now turn with me back to Genesis chapter 4 and see what was happening at the people who were living at the seventh from Adam. And I'm looking at Genesis chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 5 is the line of Seth, which is a righteous line. Genesis chapter 4 is a line of Cain, which is an evil line. Now look at the people who were living who were at the seventh from Adam in the line of Cain. And we read about them in chapter 4 and verse 19. You can read the entire genealogy there. But when we come to the seventh from Adam in the line of Cain, we see it's Lamech. Verse 19, it says, Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the other was Zillah. First time a man took two wives. First time it was Lamech. Seventh from Adam, from the line of Cain. This is the first time immorality entered into the world. A time of immorality, which is very similar to the times that we live today. Men marry, men divorce. One of my very good friends is not in the Lord, but it is surprising at the rate at which he marries. He married about 3 years back, 6 months later, there was some fight, he divorced, and he married again 1 year later, again he divorced, and now he's again looking to marry. And as what's going on, times are completely different, completely changed. It's a time of immorality that exists today. Similar to the time that Enoch lived in, which was a time of immorality. Men were taking two wives and they thought it was fine. They had broken the ideal nature of marriage which God established in the Garden of Eden. A time of immorality. Verse 20 in chapter 4 again, we read, and Adah bore Jubal, verse 21 in fact, it's Lamech's brother Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. First time musical instruments are being mentioned. We see it is a time of entertainment, a time of immorality, a time of entertainment. These were men who were singing to the harps and the organs. Musical instruments were being used. Today we see a similar scene. We see rock bands and all kinds of things that are distracting young people. I was shocked. A person with whom I used to break bread, I was shocked when I heard him tell me that, you know, all that you people are doing, he was someone with whom I used to break bread, and he told me that All that you people are doing are useless. No, God exists. No one has seen God. So basically, what you are doing is just blind faith, which is as good as any other religion, and is now no more in the Lord. And he posted on his Facebook as well. But now he's part of some rock band. These are things that are distracting the children of God. A time of entertainment. When we come to same chapter again, you know, today many people might say that we are living in a time where we are very busy. Industry is booming, manufacturing, and people have all kinds of jobs. People are working 12 hours and 14 hours. How was it in the time those people who were living seventh from Adam? Verse chapter 4 again, and you will read verse 20. Adah bare Jabal, he was the father of such as dwell in tents. We also read in the same chapter about another Enoch. Not the same Enoch we're talking about. Enoch was a city builder. He was a builder. You see, that was a time when industry was flourishing. We don't know the level of sophistication at that point of time, but men were really busy. Men were working in industry. Men were making tents. Men were making city, the first city, Enoch. You see, people were busy. Industry was booming at that point of time. It was a time when men were busy. A time of immorality, a time of entertainment, and a time when people were busy. Lastly, we see in chapter 4 and verse 23, Lamech said unto his wife Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, young man to my heart, to my hurt. Two men he murders, and he comes back and boasts about that to his wife in a song. A time of violence. Men were killing each other and they thought it was fine. They were celebrating that in a song. Today the times are no different. Men are killing each other. We read about all kind. When we read the newspaper, you only need to lift the newspaper to see what one man can do to another man. A time of violence. No wonder the Lord says in chapter 6 and verse 5 and 6, the thoughts of man are continually evil. Every thought that was entering into their hearts was evil. And when God looked down upon these things, he says, I repent that I made man on this earth. It grieved him at his heart. This was the time in which Enoch was living. What a testimony he had. He says he walked with God. Despite all these distractions in his life, we see this man had an urgency in his life. And when he looked, and not only that, he spoke to his people outside, but also his family. He spoke to them, made sure even Noah, his great-great-grandson, was also walking with God. That is the expression that we read about Noah as well, Genesis chapter 6. In one of the verses, we will see that Noah too walked with God. I was comparing Lot with Enoch. Now, Lot was also an upright man, a righteous man. But when Lot spoke about the coming judgment to his family members, they laughed at him. Somewhere, but when we talk about Enoch, we see Enoch was an example to his family members as well. Methuselah and Noah and these men, they learned walking with God from their great-great-grandfather. Coming back to the portion that we read from Hebrews, we have little time, so we'll close. Hebrews chapter 11, and we read the wonderful testimony. And it is in this context that we must place this testimony of Enoch, the man who walked with God. Walking with God means to be active in the ministry of God. Walking with God means to be lingering in the presence of God, pondering about the things of the Lord, being ready to see the Lord. The writer to the Hebrews now says, now read this in the context of the life of Enoch. He says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a beautiful words is called that he pleased God. The word pleased, it translates wonderfully the original. I wonder why the writer used that word. It's not used very much in the New Testament. Four times in the book of Hebrews and I think once in Acts. Speaks about the pleasure of God. It translates exactly to the word called gratification. God is satisfied. The mirth, Ravi Zachariah was once speaking about the mirth of God. And he said, God is happy. The mirth of God, if you want to realize the mirth of God, then you need to live a life which is pleasing to God. You know, sometimes some people believe that we cannot please God. Some people believe that we are worthless creatures, we cannot please God. But That question is kind of answered when the writer to the Hebrews makes mention about the pleasure of God in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 and 16. There we read about the pleasure of God. I'll just close after reading this. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 and 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Verse 16. Do good, and to fellowship forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. The mirth of God, the happiness of God is what is in view here. There are three things that make God happy. We can please God, and there are three things that please God. The first thing is in verse 15, it says, praises to God continually. The worship that we offer pleases God. This is the first thing that pleases God. Our worship, the fruit of our lips, the effort that we do to prepare to worship Him, the thoughts that we have concerning Lord Jesus Christ, the worship that we offer to Him provides mirth and happiness to God. Ravi Zachariah would speak about this and he would say, when we worship the Lord, sometimes our spirits lift within ourselves when we hear the worship. Why do we feel happy? Why do we feel that lifting of our spirits when we sometimes worship the Lord? The Spirit of God that is living in us, that is the mirth of the Spirit of God. The happiness of God, the gladness of God that He is hearing the worship from His people. When the Lord was on this earth, we read about His tears. We read about the fact that He wept over Jerusalem. We read of the tears of Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm 69. We read about His suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. We do not read about His pleasure. We do not read about the fact that He smiled. We do not read about His mirth then. The mirth of Lord Jesus Christ is in when He hears the worship and the praises and the fruits of our lips. That's what the writer to the Hebrews says. He is pleased to hear the worship from our lips. The second thing that pleases God is verse 16. It says, do good. Good works. The works that we do pleases God. No, I was at the ABC for CAM and I was talking to a brother and he said, we brethren, especially Malayali brethren, I've got into this habit that works don't matter. Our citizenship is in heaven, therefore we should not generally help each other or do good works. The word good works actually translates to benevolence. It means generosity. When you see people are suffering, when you know people are suffering, do not wait for them to ask help. It is a good habit to probably your benevolence and generosity to be offered to them. When people are struggling to pay their bills, when people are struggling to put a roof over their head, it is a good habit to probably your benevolence and your generosity to come into play. You do not want to think twice about it. It's another matter if the person rejects it. That's another matter. But it is a good thing to probably think about and your benevolence and generosity because God is looking at these good works. The word good works is a fairly wide word. The word actually means benevolence, your generosity, the material things that you can contribute into the presence of the Lord for the glory of God. So think about each other, think about each other's families and continue to help and your benevolence and generosity may come into for the glory of God. This is something that pleases God. The third thing that comes and pleases God is, in verse 16 again, it says, fellowship, forget not. Now some translations, the word would be communicate, forget not. Share, forget not. The word actually is fellowship, forget not. When we fellowship, when we are found in the fellowship of Lord Jesus Christ, in the saints together, it pleases God. It pleases God that people travel far off. Now people come from different places in this hall. Some come from close by. God knows everyone's hearts. God knows when someone is making an excuse not to come. God knows everyone's hearts. God says, when I see the fellowship of the saints, it pleases me. So next time when you decide not to come for a fellowship, think about the fact that not coming to the fellowship will displease God. The fellowship of God pleases God, the mirth of God, happiness of God. You see, coming back, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, we read about Enoch, the man pleased God in the way he lived his life. The New Testament parallel for the word walking with God is a word called pleasing God. In a time as evil as the one in which Enoch lived, he walked with God and he was found in the affairs of God. He set his house in order and he made sure his family members were walking with God. Now, fast forward centuries later, we are living in a time similar to that of Enoch. The message to Enoch was judgment is going to come. The message to each one of us is judgment is coming upon this world. And before the translation, Enoch pleased God. Before our translation, may we have that testimony that we may please God. The way to please God, the mirth and the happiness of God, is to worship God, to do good works, and thirdly, to be found in the fellowship of saints. May God's name be glorified.